And now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. And this great nation has some great challenges. It has challenges regarding Ukraine and the survival of Ukraine in the face of a Russian invasion and onslaught and brutal war crimes by the Russian power. Former president of the United States, the once-to-be future president of the United States, Donald J. Trump, finally has revealed, not directly, but through one of his close friends, what his plan is, the famous plan to end the war in Ukraine in 24 hours. And we will get to that because it's a dramatic revelation and says a great deal about the ongoing campaign. What also says a great deal about the ongoing campaign and how depressing it may end up being is the hearings this morning that have created a huge uproar. And the reason for that uproar is because generally in these hearings, when you have a witness, the witness is supported by Republicans, say, and is attacked by Democrats, or supported by Democrats and attacked by Republicans. Robert Hoare, the special counsel who was supposed to be investigating Joe Biden and his handling of some high-sensitivity papers that he took with him when he was a senator or when he was vice president, with all of this, there was a 345-page report by Robert Hoare, who is a very distinguished attorney with an amazing background. And both sides, both Republicans and Democrats, are furious at him. They both are attacking him and attacking him for his work product, this 345-page what looks like an exoneration of President Trump. What Hoare is saying, not of President Trump, pardon me, of President Biden, what Hoare is saying is that Biden will never get convicted. And one of the reasons he says he will never get convicted, and like any other prosecutor, the special prosecutor doesn't want to pursue a legal case where you have no chance of winning. And one of the reasons he believes he has no chance of winning, he says this in the text of his report, is that President Biden would come across as a well-meaning older gentleman with faulty memory. And this has become a gigantic case because the main case by Republicans against Joe Biden, in a bigger case than his handling of the economy or his handling of foreign policy or his handling of the budget or anything else, the biggest case against Biden has to do with the fact that he is losing his acuity. He does not have the same kind of cognitive ability that you would expect from a president of the United States. So the Republicans on the committee are furious at Hoare because he didn't indict or recommend any indictment of President Biden, which means that they have no grounds to try to impeach him based upon these papers that were taken to an office of the Biden Institute at University of Pennsylvania. Now, all of this was happening before he was president of the United States, which makes this as a basis for impeachment very questionable, because you are supposed to get impeached for things that you do as president. In any event, the Republicans are furious at Hoare because he didn't recommend any kind of prosecution against Biden. The Democrats are furious against Hoare because he didn't had no basis, according at least to the Democrats on the committee, who were led by Jerry Nadler. He is the ranking member, Jerry Nadler from New York. Their basic point is that it was a gratuitous slam and a partisan slam against President Biden that they put in the stuff about his memory. And they now have transcripts of Hoare's five-hour interview with Biden. It just became public this morning. And they do show some memory lapses as well as detailed exchanges. I have not had the opportunity to read all of the transcripts, but the transcripts where President Biden had a tough time specifically remembering the date of his son's death, his son Beau's death, it is not so shocking, frankly, because he's saying, what was that? What year was that? And of course, obviously, it's not that he doesn't remember his son's death. It's that he doesn't immediately come up with a date. The other shocking thing about the transcript, and everybody ought to acknowledge this, is he seems not to be fully aware of the year that Donald Trump was first elected to the presidency. And given the fact that, Biden wasn't a candidate in 2016, but he was certainly very involved in politics, it's surprising that he wasn't sure whether Trump was elected in 2017 or 2016. But does that indicate somebody who is a failing in his basic cognitive abilities? You cannot read the transcript or even a portion of the transcript and believe that to be true. Meanwhile, there is other important business in the country. I mentioned that we now have, and we will talk to you during this show, about the revelation of what President Trump's plan is for ending the war in Ukraine. The Biden administration has a plan and a new package of military aid to the Ukraine, not for ending the war, but for sustaining the war and preventing a Russian Vladimir Putin victory. The Biden administration announced another package of military aid to Ukraine. It's worth up to $300 million on Tuesday. That's today, of course. After months of warning, there was no money left, with officials saying the new funding became available as results of savings made in weapons contracts. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan announced the package in a briefing at the White House this afternoon. When Russian troops advance and its guns fire, Ukraine does not have enough ammunition to fire back. That's what Jake Sullivan said. That's costing terrain, it's costing lives, and it's costing us, the United States, and the NATO alliance strategically. The new package includes much-needed artillery ammunition, anti-aircraft missiles, anti-armor systems, and more. And this appears that it is going to be able to go through regardless of the divisions among Republicans in the House of Representatives. Republicans in the U.S. Senate are more sympathetic to the ongoing aid to Ukraine. We will get to that. We will get to some of the highlights and lowlights of the hearings with Special Counsel Robert Hoare, who held his own despite the fact that there were pretty cruel attacks from both Republicans and Democrats on the Special Counsel. Who wanted that job? Well, I guess he did. We will get to that and to much more, plus new evidence that marijuana is really dangerous, actually, for heart attacks and other problems. We'll get to that. And And on the Michael Medved Show, with all of the excitement and intense bitterness regarding the hearing where the special counsel who was assigned to investigate President Biden's handling of classified documents, he's being attacked by Republicans for being too easy on Joe Biden, and attacked by Democrats for being unnecessarily and inappropriately negative concerning Joe Biden's memory. This is a memorable date for one member of Congress because he's calling it quits. And this is totally unexpected. There's a letter that went out from the office of Congressman Ken Buck. He had already announced that he was not going to run for re-election, but that would have meant he still serves in Congress until January. Well, not so. A statement from Congressman Ken Buck of Colorado. It has been an honor to serve the people of Colorado's 4th District in Congress for the past 9 years. I want to thank them for their support and encouragement throughout the years. Today I am announcing that I will depart Congress at the end of next week. I look forward to staying involved in our political process as well as spending more time in Colorado and with my family. Signed, Ken Buck. This is not good news for Mike Johnson, who already, the Speaker of the House, who already has one of the most difficult jobs in American government. But this makes it more difficult because it reduces the Republican majority in the House, which has always been just razor thin. Now I think it's down to 2 seats. It's astonishing. It means that he can only afford to lose 2 Republican votes on anything, and a majority is blocked. You may remember Republicans already lost 1 seat, with George Santos being expelled from the House, and then in a special election, George Santos, who was a Republican, was replaced by a Democrat, Tom Suozzi. And now Ken Buck. Now, there'll have to be a special election at some point. But meanwhile, until there is a special election, his district, which is supposed to be a pretty safe Republican district, is going to not be represented in the Congress. Ken Buck was on CNN this afternoon and explaining, well, not really, but trying to explain or at least hint on what the problem is. This is clip 13A.
I'm resigning my seat and creating a vacancy in my district.
Why?
Well, everywhere I go in Colorado, Dan, I hear that people are not happy with Trump and they're not happy with Biden. And I think we need to change our electoral laws here. And I have a passion for that, and I'm going to leave, and I'm going to find the right organization to join, and I'm going to start working on that issue. We have to have better candidates up and down the ballot, not just president, but Senate, House, local offices. We've got to find better ways to elect candidates and bring America together.
You already had announced that you were going to not run for re-election. Why leave now and leave a vacancy in an already very narrow majority for your party?
Yeah, because it's important to get in the mix of this election cycle and start talking about the issues that people recognize are such a problem right now.
You know, my colleague Melanie Zanona is reporting that there is such tension among House Republicans that many of them aren't even going to a retreat that's going to happen at the end of this week. Is that tension part of why you're leaving so abruptly?
I think this place is dysfunctional. For example, I am the number 3rd ranking member of the Judiciary Committee. I haven't even asked my questions yet. 40, 50 people have gone before me.
But that could be personal.
It could be personal, but a lot of this is personal, and that's the problem.
Okay, this is very difficult. By the way, one of the candidates to succeed him is Lauren Boebert, who has moved into that district. Lauren Boebert announced she intends to run for a new seat in 2024, looking to replace the outgoing Republican Ken Buck in Colorado's 4th congressional district. Boebert, who currently serves the 3rd district, announced her intentions to switch districts for the 2024 election last week. The only thing I can think of here, and it's a long shot, it may be completely wrong, But the idea of Ken Buck leaving now, maybe he wants to do something with no labels. They are desperately looking for someone to run for president and vice president. And they want a Republican in one of those positions and a Democrat in the other. It was supposed to be a unity ticket. Could when Ken Buck talks about leaving sooner than thought and about how miserable it is to be in Congress right now, could he have in mind, and he says he wants to get involved during this electoral cycle? Does that mean getting involved somehow in this miserable presidential choice between Biden and Trump? It's all very possible. This is President Biden's investigator, Robert Hoor, who was giving testimony all morning on Capitol Hill before the House Judiciary Committee, chaired by Jim Jordan, with Jerry Nadler, the ranking Democrat on that committee. The special counsel, Robert Hoor, explained the conclusion he came to about the classified papers that President Biden had in his possession before he was president and when he had no real right to have them in his possession. This is special counsel Robert Hoor, clip 14.
My team and I conducted a thorough, independent investigation. We identified evidence that the president willfully retained classified materials after the end of his vice presidency when he was a private citizen. This evidence included an audio-recorded conversation during which Mr. Biden told his ghostwriter that he had, quote, just found all the classified stuff downstairs, end quote. When Mr. Biden said this, he was a private citizen speaking to his ghostwriter in his private rental home in Virginia. We also identified other recorded conversations during which Mr. Biden read classified information aloud to his ghostwriter. We did not, however, identify evidence that rose to the level of proof beyond a reasonable doubt. Because the evidence fell short of that standard, I declined to recommend criminal charges against Mr. Biden. The department's regulations required me to write a confidential report explaining my decision to the Attorney General. I understood that my explanation about this case had to include rigorous, detailed, and thorough analysis. In other words, I needed to show my work, just as I would expect any prosecutor to show his or her work explaining the decision to prosecute or not.
And part of the decision not to prosecute, he said, was his comments about the president's memory. That's why he put it in the report. It explained why he thought it would be very difficult to get any kind of conviction on Joe Biden. The testimony and the arguing continued on Capitol Hill. We'll bring you up to date and more on The Medved Show.
The Michael Medved Show.
One of the questions at the moment here on the Michael Medved Show that people are asking and hoping to get answers concerning Robert K. Hoor, the special counsel appointed by Merrick Garland, the Attorney General. And somebody with, according to some reports, a Republican background. He certainly has done things to please Republicans by including his observations about the absent-mindedness or the memory difficulties of President Trump. What's interesting about this is for people who have actually read the transcript of the five-hour interview, and 5 hours of interviews with about a couple of random documents that Trump discovered. That's a lot of talk about specific documents. And they point out in the Washington Post, a review of the complete 258-page Hoover transcript, which is expected to be provided to Congress this morning, paints a more nuanced portrait of the exchanges between Biden and the special counsel. Biden doesn't come across as absent-minded as Hoover has made him out to be. And Hoover doesn't appear as crass as Biden has made him out to be. This is Hoover this morning on Capitol Hill as testimony before the House Judiciary Committee. He was asked very directly why he included comments about the president's memory in his report. This is clip 10A.
There has been a lot of attention paid to language in the report about the president's memory, so let me say a few words about that. My task was to determine whether the president retained or disclosed national defense information willfully. That means knowingly and with the intent to do something the law forbids. I could not make that determination without assessing the president's state of mind. For that reason, I had to consider the president's memory and overall mental state and how a jury likely would perceive his memory and mental state in a criminal trial. These are the types of issues that prosecutors analyze every day. And because these issues were important to my ultimate decision, I had to include a discussion of them in my report to the Attorney General. The evidence and the president himself put his memory squarely at issue.
Okay, and then he explains how, recounting some of the problems Biden had in recollecting details. Listen.
We interviewed the president and asked him about his recorded statement. Quote, I just found all the classified stuff downstairs, end quote. He told us that he didn't remember saying that to his ghostwriter. He also said he didn't remember finding any classified material in his home after his vice presidency. And he didn't remember anything about how classified documents about Afghanistan made their way into his garage. My assessment in the report about the relevance of the president's memory was necessary and accurate and fair. Most importantly, what I wrote is what I believe the evidence shows and what I expect jurors would perceive and believe. I did not sanitize my explanation, nor did I disparage the president unfairly. I explained to the Attorney General my decision and the reasons for it. That's what I was required to do.
Okay, and having done those requirements, he still got all kinds of criticism from the Republican side and from the Democratic side. Jim Jordan, the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, suggested that Biden was guilty of knowingly violating the rules, deserving impeachment, and the motivation, pride, and money. Here is Representative Jim Jordan, Republican of Ohio, clip 9.
You know what this is? It wasn't just the money. It wasn't just $8 million. It was also his ego. Pride and money is why he knowingly violated the rules. The oldest motives in the book, pride and money. You agree with that, Mr. Herr? You wrote it in your report.
That language, and it does appear in the report, and we did identify evidence supporting those assessments.
You also had another interesting statement in your report. You said Joe Biden, I want to make sure I get this right, viewed himself as a man of presidential timber. Remember that statement, Mr. Herr?
I believe that does appear in the report, at least in the executive summary.
I think this is interesting, because here's the scary part. Page 200. I said this earlier in my opening statement. Page 200. Joe Biden, this is a quote, Joe Biden risked serious damage to America's national security when he shared information with his ghostwriter. Shared it with his ghostwriter, the guy who was helping Joe Biden get $8 million. And oh, by the way, Mr. Herr, what did that ghostwriter do with the information Joe Biden shared with him on his laptop? What did he do after you were named special counsel?
Chairman, if you're referring to the audio recordings that Mr. Zwanitzer created of his conversations with
exactly what I'm referring to.
He slid, if I remember correctly, he slid those files into his recycle bin on his computer.
Tried to destroy the evidence, didn't he?
Correct.
Okay, and then on the other side, Adam Schiff, remember him? He's going to be the new senator from California, though he's running against a Republican, Steve Garvey, the baseball star. Anyway, Adam Schiff attacked Hoare for adding the harsh words about President Biden's less-than-perfect memory. Listen, this is Adam Schiff, clip 8.
I need to address something that you said in your prior question. What you are suggesting is that I needed to provide a different version of my report that would be fit for public release. That is nowhere in the rules. I was to prepare a confidential report that was comprehensive and thorough of an
explanation. What is in the rules, Mr. Hoare, what is in the rules is you don't gratuitously do things to prejudice the subject of an investigation when you're declining to prosecute. You don't gratuitously add language that you know will be useful in a political campaign. You were not born yesterday. You understood exactly what you were doing. It was a choice. You certainly didn't have to include that language. You could have said, vis-a-vis the documents that were found at the university, the president did not recall. There is nothing more common. You know this. I know this. There is nothing more common with a witness of any age when asked about events that are years old to say, I do not recall. Indeed, they're instructed by their attorney to do that if they have any question about it. You understood that. You made a choice. That was a political choice. It was the wrong choice.
Congressman, what you are suggesting is that I shape, sanitize, omit portions of my reasoning and explanation of the Attorney General for political reasons.
No, I suggest that you not shape your report for political reasons, which is what you did.
That did not happen, Congressman. That did not happen.
And that, of course, is the essence of the dispute. The ongoing hearings featured all kinds of explosive implications aimed at Robert Hoare. We will get to some of the other exchanges. And what's surprising to me is that it seems to me coming after the State of the Union address, where President Biden was frisky and feisty and did not appear to have faltering cognitive abilities or anything of the sort. What surprises me about this entire matter this morning with these hearings is why Democrats are focusing on those words in the report, controversial words in the report, and bringing up this whole issue of President Biden's mental acuity and the impact of old age and the entire question, the entire focus works against Joe Biden. And here it's actually the Democrats in the committee who are bringing it up and giving it glaring national attention, which can't help their cause. And on the Michael Medved show, Robert Hoare, the special prosecutor who had been appointed to investigate Joe Biden's handling of classified documents and his mishandling of classified documents, because surely that's what's involved here. He pushed back against criticism of his report. This is from the New York Times. He pushed back against criticism of his report, telling the committee that his unflattering description of Mr. Biden was required to show my work, that's in quotes, to justify why he did not charge the president after uncovering some evidence that he had knowingly held on to classified documents. I could not make that determination without assessing the president's state of mind, he said. In other words, what he was talking about was the likelihood of actually getting a conviction. And given the fact that there was a general indications that President Biden was forgetful about certain things, he had a tough time remembering the year in which President Trump was elected. He actually mentioned the year in which he was inaugurated, which was 2017, but it was 2016 obviously the year where President Trump was initially elected. In any event, Pramila Jayapal of Seattle, a Democrat, ultra-liberal Democrat. She's, in fact, head of the so-called Progressive Caucus of Democrats in the House. She very insistently tried to get Robert Hoer to say that she had exonerated Joe Biden. Well, he hadn't, and he very much resisted her attack. Listen to the way that worked out at the hearing of the House Judiciary Committee this morning. This is clip 7.
So this lengthy, expensive, and independent investigation resulted in a complete exoneration of President Joe Biden. For every document you discussed in your report, you found insufficient evidence that the president violated any laws about possession or retention of classified materials. The primary law that you analyzed for potential prosecution was part of the Espionage Act, 18 U.S.C. 793E, which criminalizes willful retention or disclosure of national defense information. Is that correct?
Congresswoman, that is one statute that we analyzed. I need to go back and make sure that I take note of a word that you used, exoneration. That
Mr.
is not a word
Kerr,
that
I'm going to continue with my questions.
That's not part of my task as
I'm going to continue with my questions. I know that,
that
the term
that I ultimately reached relates to whether sufficient evidence existed such that the likely outcome
you exonerated
would be a conviction.
I know that the term willful retention has a
The point is that she tried to insist on the word exoneration, and he wouldn't use it because he didn't grant it in his report. Another Democrat who was fairly aggressive against Special Counsel Hoer was Jerry Nadler of New York. I believe he represents the Upper West Side of New York. And here is Congressman Nadler, the ranking Democrat on the Judiciary Committee.
House Republicans may be desperate to convince America that white conservative men are on the losing end of a two-tiered justice system, a theory that appeals to the MAGA crowd but has no basis in reality. But your comments today make me wonder if you have read the special counsel's report at all. Her report does help us draw a distinction between President Biden and Donald Trump. Just not the one you want. Two distinctions, actually. First, the report is clear that, quote, at no point did the special counsel find evidence that Mr. Biden intended or had reason to believe the information would be used to injure the United States or to benefit a foreign nation, close quote. With respect to the classified documents found in President Biden's possession, quote, the decision to decline criminal charges was straightforward, close quote. And with respect to the special counsel's investigation, quote, Mr. Biden turned in classified documents to the National Archives and the Department of Justice, consented to the search of multiple locations, including his homes, sat for voluntary interview, and in other ways cooperated with the investigation.
Okay. The Democrats also put together a compilation of golden oldies, previous flubs and stumbles and embarrassing mistakes by Donald Trump, having these mental slips, and they put these together for the Hoer hearings to combat the Republican talking points about Biden's age and senility. This is clip 6.
Memories of all time.
James Webb. I don't remember the names.
Viktor Orban. Did anyone ever hear of him? He's the leader of Turkey.
By the way, they never report the crowd on January 6th. You know, Nikki Haley is in charge of security.
3 years later, how about that?
Did you actually have a one-on-one with Comey then?
Not much, not even that I remember.
I like mosquitoes.
We have languages coming into our country. We have nobody that even speaks those languages. They're truly foreign languages. Nobody speaks them. Saudi Arabia and Russia. Will we be doing? Oh.
I have a really good memory. Your next wife was a woman by the name of Marla Maples?
That's right.
Do you recall what years you were married to Ms. Maples?
It's called like up here, and it's called memory, and it's called other things.
So you don't remember saying you have one of the best memories?
I don't remember that.
And Putin, you know, has so little respect for Obama that he's starting to throw around the nuclear war, Terry. You heard that, nuclear.
We have to win in November,
or we're not going to have Pennsylvania. They'll change the name.
And I talk to Putin a lot.
Again, what any of this has to do with the Hoare report, I'm not sure. But there was this clever question from Ted Lieu, who represents part of the west side of Los Angeles. He actually has a military background. He's an interesting guy. But he asked Hoare about finding evidence of Biden mishandling classified documents or engaging in criminality the way that Trump did. This is Representative Ted Lieu.
There are, quote, material distinctions, end quote, between President Biden's case and Mr. Trump's case. So here's my first question. In your investigation, did you find that President Biden directed his lawyer to lie to the FBI?
We identified no such evidence.
Did you find that President Biden directed his lawyer to destroy classified documents?
No.
Did you find that President Biden directed his personal assistant to move boxes of documents to hide them from the FBI?
No.
Did you find that President Biden directed his personal assistant to delete security camera footage after the FBI asked for that footage?
No.
Did you find that President Biden showed a classified map related to an ongoing military operation to a campaign aide who did not have clearance?
No.
Did you find that President Biden engaged in a conspiracy to obstruct justice?
No.
Did you find that President Biden engaged in a scheme to conceal?
No.
Each of the activities I just laid out describe what Donald Trump did in his willful mishandling of classified information and his criminal efforts to deceive the FBI. In contrast, President Biden handed over documents without delay and complied fully with investigators.
Okay. And is that true? Yeah. I mean, that came out in the Hoare report. Look, the one thing that's best news about this entire Hoare report is that the testimony and the ongoing debate is going to broaden. I mean, and it's appropriate that it broadens. I mean, right now, there were statements by leaders of the Senate and a statement by President's National Security Advisor, Jake Sullivan. It is a desperate situation with Ukraine. And with the beginning of the month of Ramadan, it's a real question about how this Gaza war is going to end. We'll be talking about that question with Seth Cropsey, who is a former official under Republican presidents, a former official of the Department of Defense and of the Department of the Army. And we'll be speaking to Seth Cropsey about that. We will also be taking a look at the secret Trump plan, which has now been fully disclosed. Here's the great thing about it. It was disclosed by another head of state with whom President Trump enjoyed a social meeting and made clear to that other head of state, Viktor Orban, the strongman of Hungary. He had him over at Mar-a-Lago. And during that time, he disclosed the secret plan to end the war in Ukraine, to which he has alluded many times. We will get to that and to much more, and to evidence that marijuana can lead to all kinds of effects and impacts that people don't want to recognize. But sometimes you have to face the truth on politics and in health and in all issues regarding this greatest nation on God's green earth.